Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Hello and welcome once again. Welcome to another installment of the Confidence Alchemist radio show. My name is Keith Blake-Renoble. I am the Confidence Alchemist, helping you transform your deepest fears and phobias into your greatest strengths. And now this episode is just me. It's just you and me, dear listener, just you and me. I've had quite a few people asking for more content sharing episodes. So I'm going to continue having guests. I've got some great guests lined up for the next few episodes. My plan is we're going to have like about three episodes with guests, bringing in some amazing guests, sharing their stories, their knowledge, their learnings, their lessons for us. And then about one in every four shows, it'll be just you and me, and I'll be sharing some of the teaching, some of the content that I've built up over the years as the Confidence Alchemist, all designed to give you a deeper understanding into how we work, better understanding of how you can literally change your life. Because when you change your mind, you change your life. And that's what it's all about. And that's what today is going to be about. A couple of things I'd like to share with you today, which are going to give you an insight into perhaps why things have been the way they have been in your life and what you can do about it to effect great change in your life, to take control of your life and to have a better quality of life. And let's face it, that's what it's all about, right? If we can take greater control of our lives, have better quality of life, that's got to be a good thing. And I say take control of our lives because the reality is either we control our lives or somebody else is controlling it. And if we leave it in the hands of somebody else, well, they're not really going to necessarily have our best interests at heart. So the best person to control your life, dear listener, is you. So let's take a look at some of the underlying concepts which will help us to do just that. Now, I've called this episode Not Your Fault, and we will come on to the topic of fault, and we'll complete the rest of that title a little bit later on in the show. Before we get there, I need to talk about something which you may have come across before, or you may not, who knows, cause and effect. So we need to talk a little bit about cause and effect so that we can then explore the significance of the title of the show and how it can help us. So what do I mean by cause and effect? Okay, everything that happens has a cause. So anything that happens, something causes it. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. It's a basic fundamental principle of everything that happens in the universe. Anything that happens, something has a cause. So a cause results in an effect. What does this mean? What's the implication of this for us? Well, it means that anytime anything at all happens, there is something which caused it to happen. There's something which caused it to happen. And that is very true for things that happen in our lives. Anything that happens in our life, something causes it to happen. Now, when we look at anything that happens in our life, we can place ourselves at one of two places. We could either place ourselves at effect, or we can place ourselves at cause. What do I mean by this? Well, when we place ourselves at effect, effectively what we're doing is we are putting ourselves at the mercy of events. We are saying we've got no control over anything that happens. It's not my fault. Other people did it. I would have got away with it if it weren't for you pesky kids. I could have been a contender. It's not my fault. It wasn't fair. It happened because of X, Y, and Z. Any of this striking a chord with you? You've probably heard people say those exact sort of things, right? For example, somebody turns up late to a meeting. Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. The bus was running late. Then there was heavy traffic. And then there was a big queue at the train station. And then the train was delayed. Blah, 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 blah. Not my fault. Not my fault. Blah, blah, blah. Heard that sort of thing, yeah. That's placing yourself at effect. You're basically saying, it's other people made this happen. Other people made me late. The other way we can place ourselves, however, is we can place ourselves at cause, which basically means we are causing what happens in our life to happen. So how does that help us? Well, by placing ourselves at cause, we're taking responsibility for what has happened, which means we're also taking responsibility to ensure that we get the sorts of results that we want. So again, taking that being late for a meeting because of the trains and the buses, etc., rather than say, oh, sorry, I'm late, it's because the bus was late and then the train was delayed and there were big queues and blah, 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 not my fault, wow, wow, the whole world's against me. Instead, I know that maybe sounds a bit harsh, but when you listen to people who are at effect, that's very much how it comes across. It's very much their... It often degenerates very much into a whine. It's not my fault. It's their fault. It's the rest of the world. Ah. It's a very disempowering place. We're basically saying, I have no control over anything that's happening. I can't control. I have no control over anything. I am at the mercy of everyone else, which is a very disempowering place to be, right? On the other hand, when we place ourselves at cause, we might say, I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't take into account the traffic. I didn't take into account the variability of the trains. I didn't leave enough time, so I got here late. I'm sorry about that. Now, you may well be saying, yes, but the person's still late, and you're right, they are still late. However, what they have done is they've placed themselves at cause for this, which means they acknowledge that they could have made themselves be on time. Now, okay, that doesn't affect this particular journey or this particular meeting. However, it's the mindset of placing yourself at cause which enables you to step up and start taking control. Because what this means is next time they have a meeting, they're going to take better account of the journey times. They're going to take better account of the likelihood of delayed buses or delayed trains and queues, etc., which means they're going to leave earlier. They are going to take control of the situation and allow more time, which means next time the chances are they're going to arrive for the meeting on time or early. Whereas the person who placed themselves at effect this time, oh, it's not my fault, the buses were running late, wah, wah, wah. Next time, they're going to end up being late again next time because there'll be another reason that caused the delay. Not only that, the person that places themselves at cause, chances are they weren't going to be late for that meeting anyway because they would have placed themselves at cause and given themselves sufficient time. Now, okay, there can be unexpected delays. There can be unexpected situations. We can't control everything. Not everything is within our control. And that's absolutely right. However, there are things that we can do. Did they phone ahead, for example, and say, hey, I'm really sorry, I'm running late. I'll be there 10 minutes or 15 minutes behind schedule. I hope that's okay. Can we continue? So at least the person waiting for them for the meeting, at least they know that they're coming. Again, that's placing yourself at cause. Whereas the person who places themselves at effect would just kind of bowl in late and blaming everybody else and portraying themselves as the victim, basically. So that's cause and effect. You can either be at effect in life or you can be at cause in life in any situation. And that's something to consider, something to look at. Next time you're in a situation, ask yourself, am I at effect here or am I at cause? Am I blaming others? Am I making excuses? Oh, I would have done X, Y, and Z, but this happened. I would have got that done, but I was let down by that person. It's always somebody else's fault. Are you placing yourself at effect, blaming it on everyone else, making excuses, justifying excuses for why you're in that situation? Or are you taking charge of your life, placing yourself at cause and causing things to happen? I'd like to suggest that it's a much, much, much more empowering thing to place yourself at cause. Now, do you have control over everything? Absolutely not. And we're going to take a look at that in a moment. However, when you place yourself at cause, although you may not have control over everything, you do have a much greater ability to take control of a situation, to become proactive, to turn the situation around and to make the best out of whatever is going on. Which kind of leads us on to the main topic for today, the title of today's program, Not Your Fault. It's not your fault, and it isn't your fault. Nothing that happens is your fault, but everything is your responsibility. Ooh, nothing is your fault, but everything is your responsibility. Yeah, that sounds scary. So let's break this down into the two parts. First, we'll take a look at it's not your fault. Now, what I mean by this is, as we said earlier, yes, things happen. Life happens. You don't have control over everything else that happens. You don't have control over other people. There are all sorts of situations and circumstances that are way beyond your control. So things can happen that are not your fault. And the important thing is, this is not so that you can place yourself at effect and go, oh, it's not my fault. I didn't make this happen. Placing yourself at effect is very disempowering, as we saw a few moments ago. No, the reason I talk about nothing is your fault is far too often when something goes wrong, we end up kind of blaming ourselves for it, even though it wasn't our fault. We end up blaming ourselves for what happened, and we end up looking back over all the things that led up to it, and we start down that road of regrets and what ifs. Oh, what if I hadn't done that? Oh, if only I'd done that instead. Why does this always happen to me? What am I doing to attract all of this bad stuff into my life? Which becomes a very, very, very disempowering place in which to be. Things happen that are way beyond our control. Bad stuff can happen. Very bad stuff can happen that's beyond our control. Take someone who is a victim of assault or rape, for example. It's not their fault. Somebody who's raped, it is never, under any circumstances, their fault for getting raped. Nothing they did justifies them getting raped. Nothing they did caused them to get raped. Nothing at all. I don't care how they dressed. I don't care where they were walking. I don't care how they were behaving. Nothing ever justifies them being raped. It is never their fault. However, far too often, rape victims, assault victims, anyone like that, far too often they blame themselves. And society also often places a blame on them. Oh, look at her. No wonder she got raped dressed like that. What was she expecting? Well, sorry. I would say she was expecting to have a good night out. Not she was expecting that some nasty scumbag was going to sexually assault her just because of the way she's dressed. The way she's dressed is not a justification for it. It is not her fault. Yet all too often, such victims will blame themselves for it. And they'll blame themselves very deeply, to the point where it compounds the trauma and it causes them ongoing issues, sometimes for the rest of their lives, because they blame themselves for what happened. It's not their fault. Stuff happens. You don't have to blame yourself for everything that happens, especially if it was beyond your control. People who are in war zones, it's not their fault that governments start fighting. or that terrorists attack places, it's not the victim's fault. It's not your fault for being there. So, nothing is your fault. Things happen. Stuff happens that's beyond our control, and it's not our fault. However, that said, because we talked about cause and effect, and that when you're at effect, it's a very disempowering place to be. When you're at cause, it becomes a very empowering place. So if nothing's our fault, how can we turn that around from being at effect to being at cause? Well, that's where the second part comes in. Nothing is your fault, but everything is your responsibility. By which I mean, how you respond is everything to do with you. How you respond to any situation is entirely down to you, and you alone. You are the only person who can actually cause you to respond in any way, shape, or form. I'll say that again. You are the only person who can make you respond in any way, any particular way. Nobody else can make you respond in any given way. Only you can make you respond. You are the one in control of your response. Because, hey, if you're not in control, who is? Nobody else is. You are the one in control of your response. So no matter what situation you're in, even though it's not your fault, you have full control over how you choose to respond. And I'm going to give an example here. And again, it's an horrific example, but it really, really does demonstrate the concept of it not being your fault, but it is your responsibility. It's how you choose to respond. And this was something that happened back in World War II. There were two Jewish brothers, and they were in Europe. And as you can imagine, the Nazis captured them and interned them in concentration camps. The concentration camps were absolutely horrific, evil, vile places where nasty stuff happened. Hopeless situations. Obviously, it was not their fault. It's not their fault for being Jewish. It's not their fault that the Nazis rose. It's not their fault they got captured. It's not their fault they were placed in a concentration camp. None of that was their fault. Their responsibility, however, their ability to respond, how they reacted, was entirely down to them. One of the brothers kind of lost the will to live. He kind of figured, you know, this is it. This is so horrific. Nobody can get through this. I'm not going to get through this. There's no way to survive this. This is just too much. I'm going to die here. It's an awful place. There is no hope. And sure enough, sadly, he died at the concentration camp. The other brother, however, his response, he decided, the world has got to know about this. The world has got to know about this atrocity. I have got to do whatever it takes to survive, so that when I get out of here, when this is over, however long that takes, it may be the rest of my lifetime, I don't know, but however long it is, I have got to survive so that when I finally leave here, I can tell the world what happened here. Because the world has to know what happened. It's my responsibility to make sure the world knows what happened here so that it won't happen again. Sure enough, he somehow found a way to survive. It was horrific, but he found a way to survive. And sure enough, after the war, after the liberation, he went on to tell the world about what happened there, to share his story about the horrific atrocities, and to continue to share those stories about it. So the world learned and knew about what happened there. Two people in the same situation. One of them basically placed themselves at effect and sadly died as a result. The other one placed themselves at cause. They decided they had to survive. Whatever it took, they were going to survive so that they could spread word about this. Two people in the same situation. It was not either of their fault. Neither of them were at fault for what happened there. Neither of them were at fault for being there. One of them placed themselves at effect. One of them placed themselves at cause. It's our ability to respond to a situation which is within our control and which really empowers us and enables us to ultimately to master our destiny and to take control of a situation. Now, in that case, obviously, neither brother had any control over what was happening there, but they did have control over one thing, the most important thing. They had control over themselves, over their responses, over their mindset, over their willpower. Just as you, dear listener, and I, and everyone around us, has the ability to take control of our response. It's our ability to respond which governs what happens to us, how we get through a situation. Which is why I say it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. Responsibility, your ability to respond to situations. You see, the thing is, as I mentioned earlier, nobody can make you feel anything. Let's explore this for a moment, because this could be a contentious one. Nobody can make you feel anything. Now, how often have you said, oh, that person makes me so angry? Or, that person just, they really made me sad. They really upset me. They made me feel hurt. No, they didn't. Oh, yes, they did. No, they really didn't. They didn't, because nobody can actually make us feel anything. We are the ones who give rise to our emotions. Ooh, now that sounds a bit of a tricky one. But when you pause and think about it, we are the ones who decide, either consciously or unconsciously, how we are going to feel in any situation. Which is why when we talk about somebody made us feel angry, we're placing ourselves at effect. We're giving that other person permission to control our emotions. We're giving that other person permission to tell us what emotion we should be experiencing. That's a very disempowering place. It's also a very easy place. See, here's the thing about being at cause and being at effect. Being at effect is very, very easy. It takes no effort at all to place yourself at effect. No effort at all. Which, of course, is why there's no rewards at all. Placing yourself at cause, that can take a lot of effort. It can take a lot of effort. And ultimately, it's far more rewarding because you now have control over what's going on. You have control over how you're responding. You are in charge of you. You are in charge of the way in which you are reacting and responding. Sometimes the way we respond to things, it's so deeply ingrained in us that we almost feel as though we have no control over it. For example, somebody who has a short temper, they may well feel that, God, I wish I could control this temper. And the reason they can't is because they don't yet understand how they can control it. Or it may well be that things which trigger their temper have been so deeply ingrained in us. Because remember, we spoke in a previous episode about how our brain, how our unconscious basically learns how to respond. And it always learns how to respond in what it feels is the best way, and it responds in the best way with the tools that it has at the time. And when we encounter any situation, we learn from that, and we kind of, our unconscious kind of creates a rule book. It's almost like set of programs that tell it how to behave in certain situations. So somebody who perhaps has a short temper, they have learned at some point in the past, they've learned to respond in an angry way to a particular situation. Which means next time a similar sort of situation comes up, unconscious checks its rule book, runs the program associated with that, which triggers anger. But the thing is, it's always possible to change that. And I've seen this time after time after time with clients that I've worked with. So one of the things that I do when I work with clients is we help them with unwanted behaviors, unwanted emotions, all of these sorts of things. Anger is an issue which affects so many people. I used to be affected by anger far more than I realized. And by using the same tools that I use with my clients in coaching, I was able to not eliminate anger totally. There will still be times when I get angry, I would imagine. I suppose if you came up to me in the street and just punched me in the face for no reason, I imagine I'd probably have a flush of anger in there somewhere, I expect. But I've removed my angry responses to things. So I'm able to react in a much more calm and considered manner, which is a massive help. Because when we get very emotional, when our emotions are high, our logic and our rationality is very low. How often have we got angry, flown off the handle at someone, made some rash decision, made something which we then regret for ages after? Whereas if we were in a much calmer place, we would not have made that rash decision. Is that sounding familiar? Do you know people who've done that sort of thing? Perhaps you know them very, very well. People who they've allowed emotion to get the better of them, and they've made a rash decision. They've said some words in anger, which they then deeply, deeply regret thereafter. But it's too late. The damage has been done. Or perhaps someone gets swept up in the excitement to buy something, and the next thing they know, oh my word, I've just bought a timeshare. How the heck did that happen? Because again, they'd allowed their emotion to run away and to get the better of them. But the reality is we can control all of our emotions. And I mean, as I mentioned anger, looking at anger, when I work with clients, I have a process which enables us to really cool the emotion in situations. Because if we do respond angrily to things, it's because something in the past taught us that anger was, at that point, the best way to respond. Either because we responded angrily and got a good result, or we saw other people respond, other people we respect and admire, like our parents, for example, responded angrily in a particular situation. So we learn, that's how you respond. Okay, I get it. That's how we respond. And so your rule book is written. It doesn't have to be that way. And what I do when we work together, we effectively, we go back to that situation that taught you anger. And instead of anger, we learn new lessons from that situation, new empowering lessons. Because anything that happens, there are always things you can learn from it. There are negative things you can learn from it. There are positive things you can learn from it. And when we learn those positive things, that then removes the negative emotions. Because instead of negative emotions around that event, we've got positive emotions, positive learnings, very empowering things which come out from it. And from that, we then remove the heat of the emotion. So next time we're in a similar situation, our unconscious goes through the rule book, runs the appropriate program, which is devoid of emotion. So we don't have an emotional response. Instead, we're able to respond calmly and rationally. This may sound too good to be true. It works. Every single client I've worked with, we've focused on these, whether it's anger, whether it's shyness, whether it's anxiety, whether it's being afraid, whether it's fear, whatever the negative emotion, we've always managed to soothe that emotion, calm that emotion out from the original event. It doesn't mean you have to relive that event in a traumatic way. None of what we do is about reliving traumatic the trauma in it. Quite the reverse. It's all about distancing yourself from any of the emotion that was around the event at all. So it's all very safe. It's very calm, very safe. But it removes the emotion from it so that in the future whenever you're in situations which in the past might have enabled you to react in negative ways, you now have the ability to respond, your responsibility to respond in positive ways, calmer ways, more rational ways. I worked with someone who they had anger issues when they were challenged. If somebody would challenge them on things, they'd start getting angry and it would escalate and escalate. And they got more angry, the other person would get more angry, and so they'd get even more angry. It would escalate into a big shouting match and so on. Not very good if you're in customer services. we worked together. One session on this one. We worked together, removed all the anger from the past, helped them to come up with their new positive learnings. With the result, somebody would come in angry about a situation. They now responded in a much, much more positive way, much calmer. They were able to empathize with their person, but without taking on any of that anger. And they were able to help the person and come up with a solution which worked for the person and helped the person. And as a result, because they remained calm, the other person, their anger would dissipate, and they're able to come up with a mutually beneficial resolution. Because it wasn't their fault that the customer was angry, but it was their ability to respond to that situation which governed the output. So instead of it ending up as an angry shouting match and the customer storming off unhappy, they were able to resolve the situation and the customer left either happy, or at the worst, the customer left having had their situation resolved, but they weren't angry anymore. That's the key thing. I find that I do some work in retail, sometimes working with customers, and I do it as a part-time job because it's good fun and it gets me out and about there. And it's reached the point now where the managers, if a customer comes up with a complaint, some of the managers will actually get me to go and speak to the customer, even though I'm nowhere near managerial level, simply because I've got the same approach, because I've managed to eliminate my anger issues. Means I have the ability to respond to that customer, even though the customer may be shouting or really angry, whatever. I have the ability to diffuse the anger from the situation, to make sure the customer feels heard, to make sure the customer feels appreciated, and above all, to help get a satisfactory resolution for the customer. And 9 times out of 10, the customer leaves happy. Sometimes we end up even having a laugh and a joke before they leave. They end up happy with the situation resolved, and they're more than happy to come back again. I did say 9 times out of 10. Yes, there's 1 time in 10 where the customer is unhappy. Even when we resolve the situation, they're still unhappy that the thing happened in the first place. And hey, you know, that's up to them. That's up to them. But it doesn't end up as a shouting match or anything. We still get a resolution. It's all about your responsibility. Nothing's your fault. When an angry customer comes in, it's not my fault. It's my ability to respond that governs the results that we get. Is this making sense? Maybe if you take a moment to pause and just think back over situations in your life where perhaps having the ability to respond in maybe a calmer or a more controlled manner might have got you a different, perhaps better result. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? It's very interesting. And we can do this with any of the major negative emotions. I work with people around all sorts of negative major emotions, helping them to transform those, to eliminate the emotion around that, so that they can become much more confident in their abilities to respond and to generate much better results, because they take ownership of the situation. They place themselves at cause. They take responsibility. And you can too. You absolutely can too. I've mentioned anger a few times, mainly because that is the biggest problem that affects most people. There are other issues as well. And anger is pretty much always there. Whenever I'm working with someone around emotional issues and around these sorts of things, around behavioral issues, whatever it is, We'll focus on anger first. I mean, they may well say, no, I don't have anger issues. I don't have anger issues. We'll still work on anger issues. Anyone who comes to me will work. Well, I say anyone. Perhaps if the Dalai Lama came to me, I'd say, okay, yeah, you haven't got anger. We'll work on the next issue. But anyone else will work on anger. Actually, it's quite amusing. There was one person said this to. I said, okay, so we'll work on these. We'll work on anger first. They went, oh, I haven't got any anger issues. No, that's okay. That's cool. If you have no anger issues, it'll only take a few moments for this one. So we'll go through anger first. And they then reacted angry. They said, look, I told you I haven't got anger issues. Oh, maybe I have. Because, hey, what's the worst that happens? If you remove the anger that you haven't got, then you haven't got any worse. There's always some trace of anger issues in there. I mentioned the Dalai Lama. That reminds me of a story of the Buddha, which I think really, really encapsulates what I'm attempting to describe here with fault and responsibility. I'll just share it with you quickly. You may have heard it. You may not. Either way, you're going to hear it now. So, way back in the past, the Buddha was teaching wherever he happened to be. He was teaching. And one day, somebody came up to him and started getting really angry with him. How dare you teach all of this stuff? It's complete nonsense. It's absolute rubbish. It's very dangerous. And really going off on one, getting really, really, really annoyed and angry and shouting at the Buddha. And the Buddha just sat there calmly, listening to what the man said, smiling, and then watched as the man walked off once he unloaded all of his stuff, and then carried on with his teachings, completely unperturbed. This happened for several days in a row. Each day, the angry man would come up, really lay into the Buddha, really shouting at him, swearing, getting really angry, and the Buddha would just sit there calmly, not being affected by it at all. After several days of this, one of the other people said to the Buddha afterwards, How do you do that? How do you remain calm? How does that man not make you angry?" And the Buddha looked at him and said, "Okay, suppose you come to me with a gift, and I don't accept that gift. I don't take the gift. I don't accept it. Whose gift is it? Who owns the gift?" And the man said, "Well, I guess I do." The Buddha said, "Exactly. Just because somebody's angry, comes to you and is angry to you, doesn't mean you have to accept anger. Doesn't mean you have to become angry. You can always respond in different ways. Now, yes, I get it's not always easy to do that. Again, that's why I love working with people around these things. It's all part of the work we do with confidence. Sometimes people will come to work with me, nothing to do with confidence. They just want help with a particular behavioral issues. Every time this happens, I get angry and fly off the handle, and I don't want to do that anymore. Can you help me? Absolutely. Absolutely. And some of those can be very, very quick, very, very quick resolutions. You may have had this for many, many years, but it can be resolved almost in an instant. I mean, it's a classic example. For example, somebody, they're working hard at work every day. They come home, open the door, kids' toys are all over the floor. It's a complete mess. They get angry because they just had a really bad day, and that was the last straw, and they get angry. Next day, come home, open the door, see the toys on the floor, get angry. Next day, come home, see the toys on the floor, and the kids say, get angry. So after a while of this, after this happens a few times over, that kind of programs a behavior in their mind. So they come home, open the door, see the kids, get angry. Even though maybe the toys aren't there, they start feeling angry because they've started to associate, because at some level their mind has started to associate coming home, opening the door, seeing the children with getting angry. And that starts to happen. That's not a very nice situation in which to be. And I've had clients before in that exact and in similar situations. They they've kind of lost their ability to respond the way they'd like to. And we work, we've got a couple of cool, fun processes that we go through, completely changes the way that they react. And you can do the same. You can do the same. When you're in a situation, if you feel that you're starting to react in a way that's disempowering, maybe pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. I mean, that old advice about count to 10 before you answer, that really can help. Why? Because you're forcing yourself to delay for a moment or two before you answer, which can give time for transient negative emotions to rise, burn themselves out, and disappear in those 10 seconds. Doesn't always, but sometimes it can, and that can be a good start. Count to 10 and take a deep breath. Right. And that can be enough to dissipate the emotion that's going on. Yeah, that doesn't work in every situation. And yeah, that's not necessarily an alternative to working with a coach. But it can at least be a start, right? And that getting a start is good, yeah. And again, if it's more than that, if you really want to change some of these behaviors, if you've started looking back over your life now and thinking, you know what? It does seem that I've got some issues here. Every time that happens, I just kind of lose it and get angry. Or every time that happens, I just feel debilitated with sadness. Many people will resonate with this one. I wonder if this. I wonder if you've seen this situation or if you felt this way before, dear listener. The colleague at work, and just for some reason, their voice grates on you so much. As soon as they open their mouth, you're going, oh, will you just shut up? And they could be the nicest person around, but just for some reason, it's just, yeah. Do you know anybody who's ever encountered that sort of situation? Again, any of that sort of thing. If you fancy, get in touch. We'll have a chat, explore ways we can work together and help you completely conquer those. Go to theconfidencealchemist.com. Check out stuff there. Get in touch through there. We can have a chat. Explore how we could work together to help you conquer any of those things. To help you take control of your responsibilities. Because remember, nothing is your fault, but everything is your responsibility. It's how you respond which governs the results that you get. And you absolutely can control how you respond. You are in charge of all of your emotions. Nobody can make you feel anything. Nobody can make you feel anything. And I've had a situation where somebody has been trying to wind me up, trying to make me angry. And I've just decided, you know what? No, you're trying to make me feel angry. I'm just not going to buy into this game. I'm just going to feel absolutely fine. And yes, it can take some doing, but they wear themselves out in the end. And I just don't take it on. There were times in the past where I would have absolutely flown off the handle, but now it's just knock yourself out, get on with it. I'll still be here when you finish and when you're ready to carry on civilly. If that's the sort of thing that appeals to you, that is a way in which you can respond. You have the ability to respond that way. We can work together and help you change your programming. We help you change your mind, change your life. One other thing I want to talk about here, and again, it comes under cause and effect, fault, responsibility, and so on. And it can be a great way of just seeing how and where you are on this sort of grand scale of cause, effect, fault, responsibility. And that is mistakes. Mistakes, oh yes, every single one of us make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Everybody does. We always will make mistakes. It's just part and parcel of being human. We all make mistakes. That's life. That's not important. What is important, however, is what you do when you make a mistake and how you respond, particularly what you do when somebody points out that you've made a mistake. How do you respond in that situation? And this one was really, I was really reminded of this one a few days ago in a group on Facebook. Somebody did something, they said something, they made a mistake. And it was pointed out to them, very politely, it was pointed out to them what they'd done wrong. How do you think they reacted? Well, they rushed to blame anyone and everyone else for their mistake. They rushed to defend their mistake. They pointed out, oh, it was an easy mistake to make. Anyone would have made that mistake. It was this person's fault. It was that person's fault. It wasn't my fault I made the mistake. Shouldn't blame me for making the mistake. It was an easy mistake to make. Anyone would have done the same in that situation. Really defending the mistake, blaming others, kind of really owning the mistake. Yeah, I made the mistake, but really owning the fact that it was a mistake and defending the fact that it's not their fault they made the mistake. Not a very empowering situation. Nobody was blaming them for making the mistake. It was just being pointed out. This was wrong. Next time, do it that way. But they were really, really owning that mistake and really fighting hard to defend the fact, defend making that mistake and to justify the mistake. Which is that a cause or is that an effect, do you think? That's very much placing themselves at cause. So their response to discovering they'd made a mistake was to blame others and was to defend their actions which had led to that mistake and to defend them making the mistake. Which is very, very counterproductive. Yet so many of us, and I include myself in this because even now, I still occasionally find myself doing this, probably always will. I'm getting better at it, but hey, that's just the way things are. But even, where was I going with this? Oh my word, I've totally lost where I was going with that. Oh, that's a bit of a mistake. And that's not planned either, by the way. Oh, this is embarrassing, where was I going? So we all make mistakes. Yeah, we all make mistakes. But so many of us rush to defend making that mistake. And to defend our reasons for making that mistake and defend the actions that we took. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter why we made the mistake. We can either place ourselves at effect in that situation, or we can take responsibility and place ourselves at cause. And how do we place ourselves at cause when we make a mistake and it's pointed out to us? Well, first is acknowledge, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I made a mistake. Okay. So acknowledge the mistake was made. Thank the person for bringing it to your attention. And then learn from it. What can I learn from this? What did I do that contributed to me making that mistake? What can I do differently next time? Is there something I need to learn? Perhaps I haven't been given all the information that I need to enable me to make the right decision. So how can I go about making sure I get the right information? Do I need to get additional training on it? That may well be my supervisor should have made sure I was trained in that and they didn't. So what? There's no point in blaming them for it. I will take the responsibility to raise with my supervisor that I feel I perhaps need a little bit more training in this situation, in this particular situation or particular whatever it is. That's taking responsibility, placing yourself at cause. What can I learn from the mistake? How can I do better next time? What do I need to do to make sure I don't make that same mistake next time round? So we're taking responsibility. It's not your fault. It's not your fault you made the mistake unless you were messing around and did it deliberately, in which case it's not really a mistake, was it? It was a deliberate action. But if you make a mistake, it's not your fault you make the mistake. But how you react is your responsibility. Do you defend it, rush to defend the mistake and blame everybody else? Or do you take responsibility for ensuring that you learn from it? Take responsibility for ensuring that next time it doesn't happen because you've learned from it, you've taken action, you've taken responsibility for it. You apologize, if necessary, apologize to people who've been affected by that mistake. You put it right. You don't blame all and sundry. You put it right. Oh yeah, I've had that before. Working in retail, it's in a restaurant. And there have been times when a diner has been unhappy with the food. Now, I could blame everybody. I could blame the chef. I could blame the person who took the order. I could blame all these sorts of things. That's not going to help. It doesn't help anybody. The thing to do at that point is take responsibility. A mistake has been made. It wasn't made by me, but the entire restaurant, somewhere collectively, a mistake has been made by the restaurant. Doesn't matter who made it. Doesn't matter. No blaming, no defending the mistake. Simply work with the customer. Okay, what do you need right now to make this better? What do you need to make this better right now? Would you like a replacement? Would you like something else? Would you like a refund? What do I need to do to make this better for you? Acknowledge the mistakes we made, apologize to them, make it right for them. Then we go back and figure out what caused the mistake and take whatever action is necessary to make sure the mistake doesn't happen again, or to reduce the likelihood of that mistake happening again. It could be that somebody wasn't properly trained. It could be there just weren't enough staff, and occasionally these things slip through, in which case remedial action is ensure there's additional resources, additional staff in that department at that sort of time. But whatever it is, when a mistake's made, when you make a mistake, do you rush to blame others for it? Do you rush to defend your actions and decisions and thought processes that led to that mistake, as if your honor is at stake, the honor of you and your family is at stake, and you have to defend it? Or do you place yourself at cause and go, okay, I'm sorry, mistake was made. What do I need to do to fix it? What do I need to do right now to make this good? What can I learn to make sure this doesn't happen again? Because here's a thing for you. Here's something to think about. You can never, ever make the same mistake twice. You can never make the same mistake twice. The second time you do it, it's not a mistake. It's a choice. The second time you make that, it's not a mistake. It was a choice. You chose not to fix whatever led to the mistake the first time. You chose not to change the way you're reacting. You chose not to address the underlying problems. You chose to make it happen the second time around. Ooh, gosh, this responsibility and placing yourself at cause. Ooh. It's starting to sound a bit scary, isn't it? Maybe. And it's very, very empowering, because it enables you to take control of your life and ultimately to master your destiny. Because when you place yourself at cause, yes, things aren't your fault. The situation you're in may not be your fault. The way in which you respond to it absolutely is down to you. If you place yourself at effect, so you're allowing everybody else to control your responses, to control your emotions, to control your destiny, you've got no control over your life. When you place yourself at cause, you take control of your life. Sometimes placing yourself at cause may mean seeking outside help. It may mean seeking additional training. It may mean seeking coaching. It may mean coming to me and working with me to help you address particular issues. Every single one of my clients has placed themselves at cause for the situation they're facing by coming to see me and working with me to address their issues. I'm sorry about the clock chiming in the background there. There we go. That's life. And I could either place myself at effect for that, say, oh God, that clock always goes off, or I could place myself in cause and go, you know what, next time I'm going to make sure the chimes are switched off before I do this. Because if the chimes go next time, that's not a mistake, that's a choice. That would be a choice to not address the situation. See how this all works. So what I'd like you to do, my dear listener, what I'd like you to do is think back over your life. Think back to situations. Have you been placing yourself at effect, or have you been placing yourself at cause? And in situations where you've been placing yourself at effect, how would it be different? How different could it have been had you placed yourself at cause? And next time you're in a situation, next time something's happening and you're responding to something, just take a moment. Just take a moment to think, am I at effect or am I at cause here? Am I taking responsibility for this or am I playing the victim? Am I blaming everyone else? So am I playing the blame game, putting myself at effect? Or am I in charge of my life and putting myself at cause? Which doesn't mean you're saying, how did I cause this problem to happen? How did I cause getting raped? How did I cause whatever happened to happen? No, it's not about that. It's about placing yourself at cause. What can I do from this point on to take control of this situation? What can I do to my best, most empowering, positive response to this situation? What can I do to make the best of this, to take control, to stop placing myself at effect, to acknowledge that, yeah, what happened may have been something ghastly, it may have been something really awful that happened, and I have the ability to respond in a way which will be empowering and helpful for me ultimately. I hope you found that useful, dear listener. I hope that's made a lot of sense. I hope that's triggered some thoughts. And in fact, I'd invite you to bear this episode in mind as you go forward through your day and through the coming weeks and even months. Anytime you're in a situation, just think, am I a cause or am I a defect for this? Am I taking control? Am I blaming? And if you find yourself a defect, what can you do to place yourself at cause? That's it for this week's episode. I will catch you again in 2 weeks' time. I've got several guests lined up for the next several interviews. We're going to have some really, really interesting discussions, which I think you're going to find very useful and educational. And in the meantime, I hope you found this to be useful. I will continue to be doing, as I say, two or three episodes in a row with guests. And then about every fourth episode will be just you and me. We'll be sharing some teachings and so on a particular topic. If you've got any suggestions for topics, get in touch. You can go to facebook.com/theconfidencealchemist. That's the Confidence Alchemist's Facebook page. Like the page while you're there and get in touch. Drop me a message on there if you like. Let me know if there's any topics you'd like to have covered. Let me know what you thought about this one, either through a private message on there or a public post on there, whichever you prefer. Or you can go to theconfidencealchemist.com. When you go on there, you can grab hold of my free white paper on the five hidden secrets of confidence. You can get in touch. You can check out various other articles there. You can check out the other episodes of the radio show as well, theconfidencealchemist.com/radio show. You can check out previous episodes and upcoming episodes too, and get in touch. But either way, do look to see how you can take control over your life. Look to see what you need to do to be able to change your mind, whether it's stuff that you can do yourself or whether it's working with me to help you to change the way in which you think, the way in which you respond to things. Make sure you do, because the thing is, when you change your mind, you do quite literally change your life. This is me, Keith Blake Monoble, the Confidence Alchemist, signing off. Until next time, take care and look after yourself. Thank you for listening. Until next time, bye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.